Hi everyone and welcome to InChrist Singapore. I'm so happy that you have joined us this morning and that we can gather together and lift up the name of Jesus and come together in His Word. So before I go into the Word today, I wanna emphasize two announcements. One is that starting on Thursday, this coming Thursday, we're going to start with a new Bible study. And this time we're going to go into the topic of Luke and Acts. And the reason I'm taking both together is that both are written by the same author, being Luke. And also Luke, being a historian, when it comes to writing, he also writes from a very interesting point of view. So we will see both the life of Jesus and the different topics, different main topics in relation to the gospel as well as through the book of Acts. So do stay tuned as we give more information on that. Another thing is the Marketplace Ministry is that if you have missed the first session, you still have opportunity to come and join in this coming Saturday. So don't hesitate to message us and let us know if you still haven't registered but would like to join the next coming three sessions. So before I go into the Word today, let's come together before God in prayer. Father, we just worship You and we praise You, God. Father, we thank You for the joy that we find in You. We thank You for the peace that we find in You. We thank You for the grace that we find in You, God. And Lord, we just praise You and worship You because there is no other God like You. There is no one that compares to You, God. And Lord, we just want to pray as we continue on the topic of our inheritance in Christ, that Lord Jesus, You will be glorified in the midst of our lives. And Lord, we thank You for wonderful testimonies, Father God, that we get to hear of what You are doing in the lives of our church members, Lord. And we pray that You continue to work among us. Show Yourself mighty. Show Yourself to be the faithful God that You have promised to be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I'm going to continue on the topic of our inheritance in Christ and part four. And this will be the last preaching in on this topic for now. But after going through the different parts of what is our inheritance in Christ, we see that we have so much that we have received through our Savior and our God. And in order for us to be strong and stable Christians, it's so important for us to be aware of what we have been given so that we can actually walk out in it and be able to see it manifested. And one of those things that we spoke about, about two weeks back, we spoke about some of the inheritance in Christ that we have in relation to both physical and spiritual. And I just mentioned briefly on the topic of healing that one of our inheritance in Christ is healing. But I want to take some time today and speak about that, that as children of God, one of those things that we have in Him and we have in Jesus is that one of our inheritance is healing. And I want to start by taking us on a journey. And I want to take us on a journey back to the Garden of Eden. We know that today we haven't had the opportunity to go on a trip so much lately. And many of you that are used to traveling nearly, some of you even are used to traveling every single week, have not been able to have had to be in Singapore for the last 2-3 months without being able to travel anywhere. But today I want to take us on a journey back to the Garden of Eden. And because there is something that we find in the Garden of Eden in the very beginning of when God created the heavens and the earth. And when He had created man and when He had created the animals and all of those things, we find that God had prepared such a wonderful place for Adam and Eve and for their offsprings. Because when we look upon the passage in Genesis and the beginning when God's creation was had come to be, we find that God had called Adam and Eve to be fruitful, They were called to multiply. And we also find that in the very beginning, everything was so good. Everything was so beautiful. And there was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no shame. There was nothing. Everything was perfect. And as we find that God made humans to be in His image. So when we come and when we think about the Garden of Eden in the very beginning of it, we see that what God intended for humanity and what kind of inheritance He actually wanted for His children. So the original plan that God had for His children was a world without sickness, was a world without sin, was a world without shame. So what does that tell us? Does that tell us, at the end of the day, it tells us that God is not the author of any of those things. God is not the author of sin. God is not the author of sickness. And God is not the author of shame. So what I want to be very clear about today is that looking at what God had prepared for His children, if we imagine the Garden of Eden, I believe none of us would mind to experience that place. None of us would mind to have walked like Adam and Eve with God in the garden. But when we think about that, and when we have that image before us, one of those things I want us to have in our mind is that there was no sickness, there was no pain, and there was no shame. So when God created Adam and Eve, we find in Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So what we find at the beginning of Genesis is that when God created Adam and Eve, and I know this is no new news for many of you, but if we just think about this fact, that when God created Adam and Eve, He created them in the image of God. He created them with so much potentials and so much inheritance from Him. And they were called to rule and they were called to reign. But the thing about God is that as He created us in His image, once Adam and Eve sinned, the results of sin came into their lives and into the world that God had created. And suddenly, instead of living in the paradise that God had intended for them, suddenly they found themselves to even be ashamed that they were naked. And instead of experiencing the fullness of the life that God had intended for them, suddenly the consequence of sin had come in. And what we need to know and realize is that the devil hates that we are created in the image of God. And he will do everything he can to destroy the things that God has created, or to cripple the things that God has created. And one of those things that can bring harm to the image of God, can bring harm to us as creation of God, is sickness. Because what sickness does is that it kills and it steals and it destroys. It can take away our freedom. It can take away our ability to move the way that we're supposed to move or have the energy that we're supposed to have. And that's the target. The target is to take away something from people that God has created with a purpose. The creation of God that was crowned and is crowned with glory and honor. Unfortunately, there is a spiritual fight And one of those things that came as a consequence of the sin was that sickness came into the world. So, but the good news is, as 1 John 3:8 tells us, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the very beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the consequence that came with the sin, the consequence that opened up once Adam and Eve decided to give into their temptation. And all of the results of that, all of the consequences of that, that the devil wanted to usher into humanity, into the lives of people that were originally and are created in the image of God. We find that what Jesus did is that he came so that he might destroy the works of the devil. And when we look upon the life of Jesus, what are one of those things that are one of the main things that we see throughout his ministry? One of the main things, one of those that is very, very obvious in his ministry is that he healed the sick. And he healed every disease. He healed every sickness. Nothing was too big for him. And as sometimes people argue, being non-believers, being believers, argue that God wants to teach us a lesson through sickness. God wants to discipline us through sickness, through a disease. However, when we look upon the life of Jesus, as we just read in 1 John, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the very things that Jesus destroyed when he walked this earth was sicknesses and diseases. And if we look upon the argument of saying, but God may want to teach me a lesson through breaking my bone or through giving me a disease or through giving me a difficulty in that sense, a physical sickness. When I look upon the Bible, I cannot see that was the part of Jesus' character. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. And everything he did in line with the will of the Father. And oftentimes when we look upon the Bible, for example in Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So, with other words, when Jesus was going about, when Jesus was preaching the word of God, it doesn't say he healed some. It doesn't say even when he's in the midst of a crowded area of people that he healed some. It says he healed everyone. So, if we look upon that, if God were to teach us a lesson through a sickness, would not Jesus, in a crowded area, have said to some people, okay, you can be healed. You've actually learned the lesson needed through the sickness that God had intended for you to learn. So now it's your time to be healed. And to others, he would have said, nope, you actually need to be sick a little bit longer, because there is still a lesson for you to be learned. But that's the thing, that's not what Jesus did. But it says time and time again, he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. If you read through the gospel, you see again and again, he healed them all. The crowded areas, the multitudes, he healed them all. He healed all of their sickness. He healed all of their diseases. The only reason Jesus could not heal was because of unbelief from the people. Not because he did not want to. Not because it was not God. God was not capable. But on the contrary, God wanted to. But sometimes it was the unbelief of the people. They were not willing to receive it. They were not open to it. They did not believe in it. So, if we think again about a moment, about the Garden of Eden, if you journey back to the Garden of Eden, God intended for His children to be in health, to prosper, to be well. But the moment Adam and Eve sinned, the sin came into the world. The consequences of the sin came into the world. And Jesus needed to come to restore us back to God and restore the inheritance that was intended from us from the very beginning back to us. And He needed to give His life in order for that to be given back and we be able to experience again in our lives. And the thing about inheritance is that just like every other inheritance, we need to receive it. We need to say, yes, that's mine. I want it. I believe in it. And sometimes healing comes instantly. Sometimes healing is a process. It doesn't matter which way it goes. And we don't always know how it's going to go or how it's going to come. But no matter if it comes instantly or if it's a progress and a process of healing power of God, we need to know that we can keep our eyes on Him and the work that He has started, that He will also accomplish it. And I want to take a time to look at Isaiah 53, where it speaks about what Jesus would come to do for His people. And if we start in verse 1 to 6, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when we look upon Isaiah prophecy here in Isaiah 53, we find that he is prophesying about Jesus that is to come. The suffering servant, the one who would give his life for his people. And the things that he would have to endure to bring the people of God back to him and to God and into his presence. And what we need, what we see in this text is that it prophesies about how Jesus will be cruelly beaten before the cross. How his body will be disfigured, and even though this prophecy is spoken about maybe 700 or 750 years before Christ, it even describes in detail what Jesus would do for us on the cross. So looking at that, we see that Jesus did not only suffer for our sins and take our sins upon him on the cross, but he also took upon him all of our sicknesses. And in the same way as we can believe for God to forgive our sins, we can believe for God to heal us. And healing can be the physical healing of the pain that we may experience in our bodies or things in our bodies that are in need of a restoration and healing. Healing can also be on the inside. It can be of our soul. Things that have happened in the past, things that have taken place in the past, that God is the one who wants to heal. And if we bring some of those things that we received through Christ in Isaiah 53, we find that He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes, we are healed. So if we just meditate on Isaiah 53, and as I've been meditating on Isaiah 53, as I was preparing this sermon, you know, I find it so amazing, and it cannot anything else than bring thankfulness into our hearts. When I think about the very fact that if a person is experiencing pain, let's say a person is experiencing pain in their body, Jesus went through physical pain of being beaten, of being persecuted, up to the cross, and giving His life on the cross. He suffered that physical pain so that you and me would not have to suffer that physical pain. So just as much as He suffered the consequence of sin, even though He had never sinned, so that you and me would not have to suffer the consequence of eternal death. So if you just think about that for a moment, what a glorious inheritance that Christ would suffer for us, being beaten, being flogged, so that you and me, when we have pain, when we experience pain in our bodies, when we experience things that inner healing needs to take place, that everything we need is in Him to overcome it. And what is so wonderful as well, as verse 4 tells us, He carried our sorrow. And maybe you experience sorrow in your life today. There may be a deep sorrow. There may be a sorrow that has followed you even for years. The good thing is that Jesus has already carried that sorrow for you. He has broken the power of sin and the consequence of sin. And that for everything that we go through, He will always be able to come with His peace and His restoration into our lives. And as 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. It doesn't say by whose stripes you might be healed. It doesn't say by whose stripes there is a possibility to be healed. No, but it actually says that by His stripes you already are healed. That is your inheritance. And I want to be very bold and clear today. It is your inheritance in Christ that you are healed. But then you may ask, but I don't experience the healing. I haven't seen the healing. I've been asking for a healing for even some years. But the thing is about healing, that healing may take time. And it may be a progress, it may be a process. But that doesn't make it any less true that in Christ, your inheritance is that you're already healed about 2,000 years back. But step by step, you are believing for it. You are trusting the Lord for it until the full healing has taken place in your life. And as well as it says, by His stripes, we are healed. When we imagine the stripes on Jesus' body, when we imagine the beating that He had to endure, when we look upon and visualize that in front of us, that is the reason, that is the price He paid for our healings, being inner healing or being physical healing. But it's available to you and me today. every beating, every wound was done so that you would receive healing. So that instead of the pain, the physical pain you may endure, He endured pain. So that when you endure and experience pain in your body, you can come to Christ and know that you can draw from the source of healing, the source of strength, the source of peace. And the good news is, as Galatians 3 and 13 tells us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And as I've spoken before, what was the curse of the law? It was sickness, it was eternal death, and it was poverty. But because of what Jesus did, our inheritance in Christ is not one of sickness, poverty, or eternal death, but actually the opposite. And when we look upon the Greek word for Christ has redeemed us, redeemed. And the Greek word is exaguraso, which means to deliver or redeem. It means that a person has bought another person out of slavery. But the term also carries an added meaning. It means that the process also proves costly to the one who accomplishes the delivery. So, with other words, Christ has redeemed us by buying us back to God, out of slavery to sin, and out of the curse of the law, and with giving His life at a great cost to do so. He had to pay with His life. So that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law is not to be taken lightly. Because even in the Greek word redeemed, there is a sense of a cost that was paid with a high price. And there is a sense, a meaning of someone bringing a person out from slavery and redeeming them from it. So if we think about that part, we can be secure that what Christ has redeemed us from is not something He's going to bring back on us. It's not something He desires for our lives. Yes, God can do great things out of situations that are not intended by Him. He is a God, and He can lead us through the valleys. But it doesn't mean that He has put us into the valley. But we need to know that the price has been paid. And if He has paid such a high price for it, why would He put us back into it? If He had to endure the pain and the consequences of the sin of the world, why would He enslave us again with something that His blood had to flow to redeem us from? We were under the curse of the law. But however, Jesus broke that curse and included is that He broke the power of sickness. We spoke about last Sunday how He broke the power of sin, but He has also broken the power of sickness. So if you are having pain in your body today, if there is a sickness in your body today, if there is a need of an inner healing today, we need to know that Christ has already given His life for it. He's already broken the power of it. And as long as we continue to stretch out for any faith and believe for Him to do His work, He will continue to do His work within us. And even though it may come gradually, we need to keep our faith in Him and continue to keep our faith in His Word. I remember that when we had Pastor Tom with us about over a year back. And there was one thing he said, and he said that, you know, as soon as we start to sense a pain in our body, as soon as we start to see or feel certain symptoms, it's important that we catch it at the beginning of it as well. If we start to feel that something is starting to ache in our body or something is starting to take place, that is the moment we start to sense it, we need to say in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. I speak against it in Jesus' name. Because there is a power in the name of Jesus and there is authority invested in you. So when it comes to our healing, healing can come in different manners and in different ways into our lives. But the first part is to know that my inheritance in Christ is healing. And I don't think we can overstress this, especially in the world that we're living today, with so much with the sicknesses, with the virus going on, and with people desperately trying to hang on to different things. But we need to know that in Christ, He has not cursed us, but He has blessed us. He has loved us. He has encouraged us. And He has a life for us. So we need to put our faith in Him and not in the things that we see. God works through the hands of doctors as well. And He will, as we seek His guidance, lead us to the right doctors, lead us to the right medications and all those things that are needed as a part of the healing progress. And we should never look down on that part because God has given us different means in the progress to our healings at times. But it's just so important as believers that we start with God. Start with Him first. That we start by committing things to Him and say, just Lord, I need your help. I ask for your healing. I ask for your wisdom. I ask for your guidance in this matter. And then trust Him for every step of the way. One of the ways that we receive healing is through laying of hands. And as we just see in Mark 16, where it speaks about that we lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And in a way, when we lay hands on the sick and they will recover, we are stressing our faith out in action to God. It's not just a faith on the inside. In a sense, a dead faith, but it's a faith that is led by an action. We stress out our hands in faith that God is going to heal. And of course, today I know that we cannot so easily stress out our hands to people as we're not meeting on a personal level. But if that's the case, of course, through just praying through the phone, through praying for them, we also believe for the healing power of God. One of the ways that God ministers healing, it can come through the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. And we find in 1 Corinthians 12 where it speaks about the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of them being gifts of healings that we see demonstrated through different people's lives where they may have a specific gift for a certain, for even a certain disease that we see that is manifested through their life. When they pray for people with back pain, they're healed. Or when another person may pray for cancer patients, there is a healing. So there are different gifts of healings in the body of Christ as well. But looking at the gifts as well, one of those things that can also open up for the healing of God is the word of knowledge. Because a word of knowledge sometimes shows something that is hidden that may be standing in the way for healing to fully take place and for it to come up in the open so that it can either be dealt with or it can for God to come in with His power. And I know I've shared this story with you before, but I would like to take it today as I feel led by God to do so. And this story is not very flattering for me at all, which is maybe a good thing. But, you know, when, a few years back, I started to encounter a kind of a constant pain around my elbow area in one of my hands. And I remember that I couldn't even stress it out fully. There was just pain, and I hadn't really done anything. I didn't even know what was causing it, what was the consequence of it. But the thing is that it was constant pain that I couldn't stress it out fully. And I would just sense like it was always there. And then one day, it had been going on for a little bit, not for a very long time, but for a while, but I had still not seen a doctor, but I was thinking of doing it because it was continuously there. And then one day, me and my husband, Christopher, found us at a conference with about 5,000 people. And in that conference, there was a speaker was just speaking. He was just delivering the message as per normal. And as he was speaking, he had a word of knowledge. And, you know, I'm just sitting among the crowd. He doesn't know me. I don't know him, anything, except that I just see him on the stage. And I'm just one among 5,000 people. And as he was delivering the word of knowledge, he said that there is someone in here and you're having a continual pain in your elbow. And you're not able to stress out your hand fully. And then he said, another word came along with it. And he said, there is someone you need to forgive. And as you forgive that person, as you allow the Lord to show you that person, the healing of God will come in. And I was kind of like a shocked and because I was quite shocked because it was such a specific word. And in that moment, I just took a moment and I asked the Holy Spirit, who is it that I need to forgive? And the Lord showed me. And the moment I forgave that person, the healing came in. And as soon as the healing came in, I could just start stressing my hand. The pain was gone. And I was just wondering, like, I was a little bit shocked as well because I thought, like, wow, what a God we serve that can be so specific about things. And in that moment, the healing of God came in and the restoration of God came in. And what am I trying to say with that is that sometimes, and I want to be also very specific, not all sickness are because of sin. Absolutely not. And we should never think about it in that manner. Because not all sicknesses are results of sin. Absolutely not. But there are times that some sickness or some pain can be a result of sin in our life, as a consequence of a certain sin. But the good news is if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to us what it is, and even through words of knowledge in this manner, that God can come and manifest His healing. God can come and show light of the reason that needs to be put right before Him. And the healing power of God can come in. So in this case, there was a connection, but that does not mean that in every case there is a connection. But it's so important that we always keep that heart before the Lord. We allow Him to speak to us. We allow Him to examine our hearts. And if there is nothing there and we still haven't received our healing, then we just still continue to believe for healing. Because the thing is that we live in a fallen world. And because of that fallen world, at times we experience sicknesses, we experience pain and so on. But the good news is that there is a restoration and there is a healing. And we need to know that sickness is attack of the enemy. As I said before, sometimes sickness may be a consequence of sin. Sometimes sickness is the consequence of just living in a fallen world. And different things that we find, different surroundings we find ourselves in. But we also need to realize that the enemy attacks us, can attack us in this manner, because he wants to destroy the purpose and the plan that God has for us. But we have been healed through the stripes of Jesus. And we have been given the position above all spiritual power and principalities. And the good news is that Jesus is the name above every name. And one of those things we need to be aware of is that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. And that's one of the key things that we need to realize in relation to healing, is that faith is the most powerful thing that God has given us. And we need to stress our faith, we need to stress to God, and we need to drink in the Word of God and allow it to become faith in our lives. Because as John 10:10 tells us, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So sickness and disease, it comes to kill, steal and destroy. But God has come to give us life and life of abundance. And, you know, when we think about just that very fact of our inheritance in Christ, the abundant life that God has given us. And when it comes to that abundant life, you know, and as I said, sometimes we are so afraid of prosperity teaching. And yes, prosperity teaching may at times have gone too far. But we cannot, just because it has gone too far, throw it all out. Because when I think about the very fact what God has done for you and me in Christ Jesus, it makes me full of security in Him. And it makes me realize even more how loved I am by God. And because I realize how loved I am by God, the more I love Him. Not based on what He has done for me, but the very fact, as the Bible says, we can love Him because He loved us first. So how are we to love God that we don't know if He wants good for us, if He wants bad for us? How are we to love God if we don't know if He's going to trick us or if He's going to bless us? How are we to feel secure in someone that we never know in what kind of a mood he is in? But at the end of the day, we need to realize that we can love Him because He loved us first. We can love Him because we are so secure in Him. We are so secure in His inheritance in Christ. And that He has given us so much, because love is not just by words. Love is action, right? I mean, a person can say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if it's not followed by action, it's nothing but empty words. And if God were to say, I love you with unconditional love, He loves us that He gave His only Son for us. But then everything that comes with God would just be pain and sickness and all kinds of heavy loaded things. It would be very hard to feel loved. But that's why it's so important for us to realize that our inheritance in Christ is not full of pain, it's not full of sickness, it's not full of shame, but it's full of life, it's full of grace, it's full of joy. God wants to fill our life with joy. And it doesn't mean that as He doesn't discipline us. Yes, He disciplines us, but He does not discipline us through something that He gave His only life for, and His blood had to be poured out so that we could come into the fullness of everything that Christ has given us. He would not shed His blood and go through all that pain to then throw it back at us. But He has done everything in His power to keep us whole and secure in Him. So the good news is that we may feel at times, we may experience that, yeah, that we we may experience pain. We may have experienced sickness. I myself have both experienced God instant healing And I've also experienced God's gradual healing. But it doesn't make His healing any less true and real. And it makes me so grateful that that's the kind of Father that we have in heaven. And I just want to end with Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So with other words, every weapon formed against you, every weapon the enemy tries to form against you, it shall not prosper. But you and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And the good news is that this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. This is the inheritance that you and me have in Christ Jesus today and every single day of our life. And even though we may still be in the progress of seeing and manifested more and more, we need to be in that kind of a place where we don't give up, but we continue to say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in your healing. I believe in your restoration. I believe in your power. I believe in what you have said. And do know that our God is a God of miracles. And if there is a sorrow in our heart, do know that He wants to give you joy. And He wants to heal whatever has caused the sorrow. Hallelujah. So as we close the study, or we close this sermon series on our inheritance in Christ, I just want to end on those notes when it comes to the healing of God. Because healing is real. And healing is not for a few people, but it's for every single person that is willing to reach out to it. And if the Lord reveals something to us along the way on our journey to a healing that needs to be put right, then we put it right before Him, and then we continue to stress out for His healing. If there is nothing the Lord reveals to us, then we just continue to stress out for His healing. We continue to believe Him. We continue to trust Him, so that the day will come when we can say, Lord, thank you. You've healed me. And then I'm not only talking about a physical healing, but I'm also talking about the inner healing. And often the inner healing may need to start with the forgiveness of people that may have hurt us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. Father, we just praise you and we worship you. Jesus, we just praise you and worship you because there is no other God like you. There is no other King like you. There is no one that has given His life the way that you have done for us, Lord. And Father, right now we just want to come before you. We come before you, Father God, and we just ask, Lord Jesus, we pray for those among us, Lord God, that may not be well in their bodies. We pray for those among us, Lord God, that may be in a need of an inner healing at this moment of time. And Lord Jesus, I just want to stand together with those listening right now, Lord, that may sense a pain in their bodies, in different areas of their bodies. If it's back pain, If it's any other pain, Father God, or any other disease or sicknesses they have experienced, and maybe, Father, there are some that have experienced for the longest time, and they've been waiting and waiting, God. But, Lord, I just want to pray right now, Lord, that you come with your healing power upon their lives, and you set them free from every sickness and every disease that has been in their lives, God. And Lord, we just speak against the sickness. And I just want to encourage you right now as we pray. And it doesn't matter if your spouse is there. It doesn't matter if your children is there. But just take a time and put your hand, if you have pain anywhere in your body, or if there is a sickness that you're dealing with at this moment of time, I just want to encourage you, put your hand, and if you cannot put your hand exactly where the pain is or where the sickness is, then you can just put your pain on your hand on your heart. And I just want to agree together with you that God's full healing and restoration will come into your life. Hallelujah, Father. Father, I just want to pray together with each and every one right now. Lord Jesus, I stress out my hands and I stress out my faith together with them, Lord. And Lord, we just speak the healing power of God upon their lives right now, upon their bodies, upon areas of their inner life that needs healing, Father God. If there are trust issues because of the past, I pray right now that the life of God will come in there and those trust issues will be healed in Jesus' name. And the security in God will come into their lives, Father. And Father God, we pray for those that are, Father, we pray for those that are experiencing any kind of sickness and disease in their bodies, Lord. I pray together with them right now, Lord. We speak against those sicknesses, we speak against that pain, and we say, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we speak the power of God upon their lives, the healing of God upon their lives. Right now, in Jesus' name we pray, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. So, thank you so much for joining us today. Continue to walk in the presence of God. Continue to draw close to God and know that He will draw close to you. Be blessed and have such a wonderful Sunday ahead. Amen.